Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Reading from Chapter 3, which is called Karma Yoga. Text 36. Arjuna has a question. Chapter 3. No, you have to be here this much in the book. Chapter 3. It's at the beginning. Do you want a Spanish Gita? Arjuna Uvacha. Atakena prayuktoyam. Atakena prayuktoyam. Papam charati purusha. Papam charati purusha. Anichana pivarshneya. Anichama pivarshneya. Palativa niyojita. Palativa niyojita. Arjuna uvacha. Atakena prayuktoyam. Papam charati purusha. Anicham api varshneyam. Palativa niyojita. Arjuna uvacha. Ata kena prayuktoyam. Papam charati purusha. Anicham api varshneya. Palativa niyojita. Arjuna vacha. Atakena prayuktayam. Papam charati purusha. Anichana pi varshneya. Palativa niyojita. Arjuna vacha. Atakena prayuktayam. Papam charati purusha. Anichana pivarshneya. Palativa niyojita. Arjuna vacha. Atakena prayuktayam. Param purusham. Anichanapi varshneya. Palativa niyojita. Arjuna uvacha. Arjuna said. Ata. Then. Kena. By what? Prayukta. Impelled. I am one. Papam. Sins. Charati. Does. Purusha. A man. Anichan. Without desiring. Api. Although Varshneya, O descendant of Rishni, Balat, by force, Eva, as if, Niyojita, engaged. Translation. Arjuna said, O descendant of Rishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? Purport. The living entity, as part and parcel of the Supreme, is originally spiritual, pure, and free from all material contaminations. Therefore, by nature, he is not subject to the sins of the material world. But when he is in contact with the material nature, he acts in many sinful ways, without hesitation, and sometimes even against his will. As such, Arjuna's question to Krishna is very sanguine as to the perverted nature of the living entities. Although the living entity sometimes does not want to act in sin, he is still forced to act. Sinful actions are not, however, impelled by the supersoul within. Jai. Sinful acts are not, however, impelled by the supersoul within, but are due to another cause, as the Lord explains in the next verse. So you have to wait till tomorrow to find out what that is. So Arjuna's question to Krishna is very sanguine. I looked it up on the, synonyms, to see if what other words are the same, and it said optimistic. I wasn't quite sure what the word meant, and it said on the computer, said optimistic. Sanguine. In the halfway through the purport, Arjuna's question to Krishna is very sanguine, and I don't know the exact meaning of the word, because what it said on the computer, but it doesn't really. So Arjuna's question is, O descendant of Rishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? Om Agyanati Miranda Shakiranjala Shalakaya Chakshuram Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Sri Taitanya Manabhistam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Guru Vaisnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sakrijatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Visakha Vitam Cha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, and unto the feet of all Vaishnavas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, along with his elder brother, Sanatana Goswami, as well as Raghunath Das and Raghunath Bhatta, Gopal Bhatta, and Srila Jiva Goswami. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, along with Advaita Acharya, Gadata, Srivas, and other associates. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna, along with their associates, Sri Lalita and Vishakha. He Krishna Karna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Rata Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Rate Vrindavishwari Rishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vanchakalpa Drupyascha Kripasndupyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudevi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I considered doing the next verse as well, but the person who's giving class tomorrow has probably already prepared. So I thought, okay, I'll just do this one. Because this is the question and tomorrow is the answer. Okay, so I'll keep you in suspense. So I thought we would have a little look back. And first of all, we can consider Arjuna is speaking to Krishna. Where are they? They're on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and they're looking at 11 Akshohinis of people who want to kill them. One Akshohini is 21,000 men on chariots, 21,000 men on elephants, 109,000 infantry, and 65,000 men on horses. That's one Akshohini, and there are 11 of them. So they're looking at a lot of people who are poised, ready to attack. And Arjuna's thinking, I'm not sure I'm supposed to be doing this, not sure it's a good idea. And he's thinking of all different kinds of reasons of how to get out of it. He doesn't want to fight. Not because he's afraid, but he's got his different reasons. And now he's trying to renounce his duty. So the first two verses of the chapter, he was saying, but Krishna, why do you want me to do this? Why do you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare? If you think that intelligence is better than fruitive work. So he's thinking, I shouldn't be doing this, and he's trying to get out of it. So the next seven verses, Krishna is defeating his argument about renouncing. Arjuna's thinking, it's sinful, I shouldn't be doing it. He's thinking so many things. And then, so Krishna starts to explain, nishkam karma. Nishkam means no desire, and karma is work or activity. So it's explaining how it's possible to work, to do things without desire for personal gain. Basically to do it for Krishna or for Vishnu. And then from verses 10 to 16 he's explaining karmakanda, doing sacrifices for fruitive results like material benefits, a good son, a nice wife, some riches, going to the heavenly planets, offering things to the demigods, and then the demigods give what they have to give. For example, offering to Indra, a sacrifice to Indra, then Indra sends some rain, and then you get your grains. So even the cowherd men in Vrindavan were doing this sacrifice to Indra. And Arjuna changed all that. When he was asking, why are you doing this sacrifice to Indra? Is it, Krishna was asking his father, is it a kind of tradition or can you explain it to me? And then he convinced them that they didn't have to worship demigods. And instead he suggested they worship Govardhan Hill. But in the Vedas it said that people who want material things should worship different demigods. And it's explained which demigod you worship for which benefit. And then Krishna is explaining how to work without attachment. Then he compares people who work with attachment and people who work without attachment. And his conclusion is, in verse 30, I'll read it, fight. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desire for profit, and with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. So, when Gandhi was reading Bhagavad Gita, he somehow was trying to promote his movement of non-violence using Bhagavad Gita. I don't quite know how he got round Arjuna said, Krishna says to Arjuna, seven times fight. Seven times. So he says in 2:18, let me see how he says it. This is nice. I forgot to mark the pages. Right, 2:18, that's the first time he says it. He's talking about the material body, the difference between the body and the soul. So Krishna says, the material body of the indestructible, immeasurable and eternal living entity is sure to come to an end. So that's his reason. Body's going to die anyway. Therefore, fight, O descendant of Bharat. And then just before he gets into Sankhya Yoga, oh no, he's in the Sankhya Yoga. Right, 2:37. This is one of the other reasons Arjuna's saying, okay, this is what Krishna says to Arjuna. O son of Kunti, either you will be killed on the battlefield and attain the heavenly planets, or you will conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom. Therefore, get up with determination and fight. He's trying to give him all the reasons for fighting. Look, either you get a kingdom or you go to heaven. Therefore, get up with determination and fight. And in the next verse again, do thou fight for the sake of fighting, without considering happiness and distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat. And by doing so, you shall never incur sin. And then today's verse, the one I just mentioned, 3:30. He's saying, free from lethargy, fight. And then in the fourth chapter, he said it again, 4:42. Someone's allergic to Jagannath. Let me see what he says, the last verse of the fourth chapter. Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharat, stand and fight. And then the last two times are in the 11th chapter. Oh, I just want to read the one before it, it's so nice. 11:32. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. Therefore, get up, prepare to fight and win victory and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. Next verse, Drona, Bhishma, Jayadrata, Karna, and the other great warriors have already been destroyed by me. Therefore, kill them and do not be disturbed. Simply fight, and you will vanquish your enemies in battle. I'm not sure how Gandhi interpreted these verses. So that was I got there from 3:30. So in 3:30, Krishna is telling him to fight, and then 31 and 32 is, this is what happens if you do, and this is what happens if you don't. Persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions, they get free from bondage, and those who disregard these teachings, what happens to them is they lose all knowledge and they are ruined in their endeavors for perfection. And then the last section of the chapter, which we're now in, Krishna is saying, you can't not... what he's saying is, even a man of knowledge acts according to his nature. For everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? So you could say, if I'm acting according to these three modes, then I don't really, I'm not responsible for my work. It's not me who's doing it, it's the mode, they're pushing me. I didn't want to do it, officer, they made me. But there are principles to help us. There are principles to regulate attachment and aversion, like doing things to get into the mode of goodness, going to Mangalarati, chanting our rounds, taking prasadam, getting association. There are all these principles which help us become transcendental, or at least getting the mode of goodness. And these things all help. And then Krishna was saying, it's better to do your own duty rather than someone else's duty. And now Arjuna is saying, but how come I'm being forced? What is it that's forcing me? By what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? Shall I tell the answer, or shall we wait till tomorrow? But then I'll spoil Padmanetra's class. So Krishna's got Arjuna's got the big question: why am I forced to sin? There's a nice piece about sin in the Nectar of Devotion. I should have brought it with me. It's explained that when you do a sinful act, there are several reactions. One of them is you get the desire to do it again. And one of them is that you're going to get a reaction. Maybe not now, maybe later. It's like a little seed that grows, and you don't see it at first. Then it comes above the ground, then it gets some leaves and fruits, and then you get the reaction. So even if someone does something, a crime, and gets put in prison, the seed of desire to do it again is sown. So it's much more likely that a person who does the same kind of crime again, even after being in prison, a thief will steal again. Because the seed of desire has come from... they did the sin, and then the seed of desire is sown in the heart, and then later it comes out under the right circumstances. Just the analogy is if you have a farmer and he has a field, the earth is full of seeds, all different kinds of seeds, but under certain circumstances, different ones grow. Depending on the temperature, the acidity of the soil, and how much fertilizer he's used, different seeds will grow. So, according to our situations, different things will trigger the desire seeds. There was in India, there was one man who was bragging that his workers were all honest. He said, everyone who works here is honest. No one steals anything, they're all honest. And then someone asked him, then why do you lock the cupboards? He said, to keep them honest. So what I was discussing, Prabhu, I don't know if you heard any of it, was Arjuna's question, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? And then tomorrow we're going to get the answer from Padmanetra Prabhu. So does somebody want to add something? Yes, I think we'll have a good turnout tomorrow. I think we'll have a good turnout for the class tomorrow. It's like I used to watch the TV, and they would get to a very exciting part of the drama in these soap operas, and then it would finish the program, and you didn't see the end of it. So then you had to watch it again tomorrow. And then you get the build-up to the next story, And somewhere in there they give the conclusion to this one, but you're already curious about the next story, and so it goes on and on. It's a good question. Why do I sin? Why do I want to? Why am I being forced? Not that you can say it wasn't me, it was the monks. Somebody want to add something? Bhurajan's writing, in the Vedic system, to act contrary to one's prescribed duty is a sinful act. Sinful actions are not, however, impelled by the supersoul within, but are due to another cause, as the Lord will explain in the next verse. Shall we stop then and do some bhajan? Or do you want to tell some personal experience how you stopped sinning? How did you stop sinning? Did you do more sins before you came to ISKCON and then you did after? Probably most people did more sin before they joined ISKCON. Maybe you were brought up in Krishna consciousness. Anyone sin less now that they've joined ISKCON? So how did you stop sinning? By eating halva. Okay, the recommended way to stop sinning is to eat halva. It's mentioned in 3:13 that if you offer your food before you eat it, then you get rid of sins. And let me read it, it's nice. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. Even if it's vegetarian, it's still sinful to not offer it. So that's good. If you eat lots of halva, then you get rid of all kinds of sins. In the beginning, you have to eat lots, but later, not up to the neck. Oh yes, chanting. Chanting Hare Krishna. I noticed that it's almost impossible to follow 4 eggs if you don't chant 16 rounds. Almost. I don't know anyone who would be able to follow 4 eggs without chanting 16 rounds. I did meet some people when I was in Bangladesh who were following 4 principles since birth, and I said that the fourth, in the West we find the 4th principle difficult, and they said, which one is that? They didn't know which one would be difficult. But in the West, we find it difficult to follow any regs without chanting. Who? Monks. Yes, but monks probably have a different prayer. Like Christians or Muslim, they probably have different prayers, which will have the same effect. Even to find a vegetarian is quite rare. I was vegetarian before I joined ISKCON, but we didn't know you weren't allowed to eat eggs. So, I mean, we weren't sure about the fish. So then, some people think they're vegetarian if they only eat chicken. When I was in hospital, they gave me chicken, and the lady in the next bed said, she's vegetarian. And the nurse said, Some vegetarians eat chicken. But things like stopping smoking, how difficult is that for someone who's not chanting? What was your third one? Service. Being so busy with service, you don't have time to do other activities. Oh yeah. Ah, wow. Being sent by Krishna to help. That's what Prabhupada said about his disciples, that they were sent to help him. Association definitely helps not to sin. And the opposite is that bad association encourages sinful activities. I met one lady once and she was complaining that her husband was in prison, and she was saying, "I've got 5 kids at home and he's in there planning his next robbery." Of course he meets all sorts of people with the same desires as he. So he can just choose a new workmate and they can plan their next crime. It's not a very good place to put someone actually, in with a lot of other people who think the same way. But it's also good if we get association with devotees that we can get some good tips how we can use our time nicely, get encouraged. Get motivated? I think the word's motivated. Inspired. Get inspired to do certain things. It's very nice that Madhu Gopal's been organizing these classes in the evenings, and now people are starting to come regularly. How long has it been going now? In the fourth chapter. So we're nearly there, nearly round. So now, even when there's a festival, still there's a Bhagavad Gita class. And at the weekend, did you have them? Did you have classes at the weekend? Yeah, there was Nityananda's appearance day and Varaha.
Oh, this time.
You had? Oh, that I thought that there was one missing. When I was in Brussels, we were trying to do the same verse as you would be doing in Radadish. No, but we're one verse behind what I thought we were going to be. He didn't do Bhagavad Gita? Oh, he did. Oh, he did Chaitanya too. So this is the benefit of coming to class, you actually get to hear it. Yeah, you have to be there. No, I was there for that one. I heard it. Okay, so then we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavad Gita as it is ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees.